Welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show, the season finale of Bates Motel, episode 10, The Cord. Let's get into it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, we're so sad. I'm okay.
Dream a little dream.
Why don't you let Dora sing her song?
Sorry. Very sad. Welcome to the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show, the season finale, the series finale.
That's it.
The Bates Motel After Bates Motel Show. Probably not the season finale, the Bates Motel After Buzz After Show. We'll talk about that a little later. We may do at least one, maybe even two more episodes to unpack this wonderful finale. We're going to try to get some people from the show on, writers and maybe an actor. But in the meantime, it's just us, and it's all of us. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined by the lovely Dua Casey.
Hi, welcome everybody.
And I'm also joined by the lovely Julia Carely.
Hi, guys. I'm bereft.
And I'm even.
Nice word.
I thought you were Julia. And I even.
I'm bereft.
And I even am joined by the lovely Joseph Lopez.
It's nice to be here with you guys. I'm bereft adjacent.
Right. not to the left abrupt.
No.
Bereft adjacent. Well, so that was a very sort of poignant and tragic and melancholy and yet also and uplifting episode.
Kind of pretty at the same time.
Yeah, of Bates Motel. I just want to say
it was a happy ending.
The obvious.
Yeah.
I want to say the obvious that what a great freaking series. What
so well done.
Great, I mean, like, not
kind of perfect.
Not really a wasted episode, you know. I mean, there's other shows that have 22 episodes
long
that have
what
some filler in there.
Are you trying to say that there's network television out there that will just abuse their audience and make them watch hours and hours of shit that doesn't need to be there?
I'm just saying some other shows will give you 22 episodes. There's filler in there. I think, with the exception of The Good Wife, which does a great job of that, I think. But this is 10 tight episodes. We have 50 very tight episodes of television. Not a wasted episode.
No shark jumping.
Brilliant storytelling.
Yes.
And so congratulations to Carlton Cuse and Carrie Aaron and everyone involved in this lovely show. And thank you for giving it to us. But let's get into this finale, which, you know, we had a lot of predictions going into this thing. A lot of predictions had how this thing would end, like for the last 5 years. We've had predictions how this thing would end. It's been 5 years, guys.
Yeah.
Well.
I don't feel any different.
I know.
Yeah, heartless.
Oh, I'm not even 20. I don't feel any different, unfortunately. But we have to pick pictures of who would live, who would die. And some are right, some are wrong. But before I get into that, let's talk about our reactions to this episode. Because I experienced every range of emotion. I was surprised. I was sad. I was happy. I was everything. What did you feel, Dua?
I loved it. I thought it was perfect. I thought it was the perfect happy ending. You know, I did predict, I will just say along the way, that Norman was going to die. And it was the perfect way to, how do you turn this incredibly tragic story and bring it back around and turn it into a happy story? So I loved it. I think I liked the storyline with Romero. I just thought it was perfect. I really did. There were two things that actually stood out to me that kind of were like, oh, they didn't address it. One was they never talked about the fact that Dunkel Dylan never found out that Dunkel was dead. In the whole series, they never touched on that. Oh. And then they also never talked again about Dr. Edwards. And I wish they would have touched base on those. But other than that, I thought it tied everything up in a nice little bow that Norma would have sent you for Christmas.
I think there's a few. I think if you had to really...
I like that. That's solid.
Or in the back of her apron.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that if you really dig deep and unpack, there are probably some loose ends from all the seasons, but those are two definite ones.
There's a lot of bodies floating around there. We only uncovered two. Let's be honest.
I just have the same notes. I'm all, you know, Dr. Edwards, presumed dead, you know,
yep.
Dunkel, so I don't know. Julia, what do you think?
I too experienced a range of emotions, and the whole time I'm watching it, you know, I'm the girl who loves Christmas Eve way more than Christmas Day because I like the anticipation. I love the build up and just, you know, waking up on Christmas Day, you're just like, oh, it's over already. That's sort of how I feel. But I'm very satisfied. You know, over these seasons, all of us have had some wacky predictions that were apparently so off base, mm-hmm. but it was fun to make them all miss making those ridiculous predictions.
Agreed.
I do think, though, that this is the way that it should have ended. I don't have any qualms with the way that they have wrapped up this pretty little picture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have thoughts. We'll go deeper into it, but I thought it was beautifully done, and I will miss this world very, very much.
Satisfied, huh? I thought you were like me.
You'll never be satisfied. I'm sure I don't know what you mean. You forget yourself.
You forget yourself, sir. We're
just, more Hamilton for Joe and Julia. We can't stop ourselves. All right, Joe Flippo.
I enjoyed it very much, and it's always the sign of great writing is when everything ends and you go, yeah, how else could it have gone?
Yeah.
And that means that they did it just right. And when they make a left at the last second, you're like, what the fuck? That's when, you know, but it didn't happen. It was, and we've said this about the show over and over again, everything's always earned. They never have moments that are cheap. And stuff that I think a different group would have made an absolute mash of, would have just butchered. If you'd asked a different group of artists to make this exact same episode, even if it was written for them, and said, hey, shoot this, they'd have fucked it up. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the whole thing coming back with, you know, we leave Romero in the snow and he gets in the car. We are all in. There's nobody.
It's all earned.
And it's all earned. And it's such a testament to what great storytellers they are. And we heard that there's more to come from them and some new projects and some other networks, and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. But I loved it and people have been saying,
oh, go ahead.
I just we're sort of feeling how we feel about how we feel about it wrapping up. I also love the little glimpses about how life goes on after Norman Bates.
Yes.
You know, just little glimpses that this was just a moment in time that we witnessed. This was just some tragic, disturbing shit that went down, but life goes on in White Pine Bay.
And it's interesting, that brought a very interesting brevity to it.
I was like, oh
that's right.
This is just a thing that happened. And it's crazy.
And this set, this hotel, that there's going to be a new couple roll up and they're going to buy it and they're going to make a business out of it.
They're going to kill some people. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a party.
I agree with you, Joe. I think that I think there's a lot of different ways that this thing could have gone, but I think that we have a lot of expectations, I mean, especially since we have some, you know, very famous source material that they're working off. So we have a lot of expectations as to how this is in, based, of course, you know, over the source material. Now they've clearly made a few left turns from the source material. We've seen that. I just think that, you know, I keep saying all the time, one of the biggest magic tricks they are able to pull, they being Carlton and Carrie and the gang, are able to have us have incredible sympathy for this guy, this kid who is a mass murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible sympathy for this person who is a incestuous rapist at best.
Yep.
Or sympathy for this woman who is clearly a murderer and got all kinds of problems. And even Romero at the end, I mean, he's not the best guy in the world. I mean, he's actually kind of gone to the really the dark side.
Yeah.
Again, we're wondering, like, oh, is Romero good? Is he bad? Is he dark? Is he complicated? Well, he went over the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that, but we're still rooting for him. For them to do all of that and keep us engaged is incredible. And
to make it look easy, because it's not easy to do that when you're developing characters. It's not easy at all. And it seems simple.
Well, no one ever lost their humanity throughout all of this.
Well, I mean, I think that what's the last thing I'll say, and we can talk about the episode, is I think that, you know, you touched on it, Joe. I mean, and you did too, Joe. How is this thing going to end? How is it supposed to end? Yet we did get a happy ending, and a thing that was impossible to have a happy ending. I mean, it was very evident to me 2 episodes ago, and especially in episode 9, that, like, oh, because I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, like, oh, they're gonna pin this all on Romero, and Norman's gonna run free, or oh, something's gonna happen, and Norman's gonna be free. Hotel's gonna be open for business. But by the episode 9, I'm like, oh yeah, he's not getting out of this.
Yeah,
this is over. So we got an episode and a half of just watching this whole thing unravel. Mm-hmm. How is this gonna end? And I left this feeling like happy for Norman.
Yes,
happy for Norma,
and it's what he wanted.
Yeah. So and to a certain degree, you know, I feel happy for Romero, mm-hmm. although I wish it would have gone differently. But let's get to the episode. So last we saw, Alex Romero had made his long, season-long journey out of the clink, you know, across town, across state, you know, through shotgun blasts and everything else, to all the way to get to Norman and to kidnap him. And to take him to just wants to know where the body is. He wants to take a look at Norma, mm-hmm. and then if he's lucky, make it quick for Norman, and then probably kill himself, I imagine, is what's his whole plan. And he does that. So we have this car ride with Norman and, Mother, mm-hmm. and Romero, and poor little Regina, who's terrified.
Sobbing! Oh. Get it together, girl!
I mean, there's a gun to the back of your head. But let me ask you guys, I mean, did Romero know that he wasn't talking to Norma? Is Romero in on this? I can't remember.
I don't think he gave a shit.
I don't think he gave a shit. I don't think he cared, but did he realize that, like, who, what? I don't care. Take me.
I think Dew is 100% right. I think for the purposes of Romero, it does not matter.
Yeah.
I think that Romero got into that place where he's got tunnel vision. You know, when he was offered last episode, remember when what was her name? The one he stayed with, we're talking about the cabin in Montana.
Yeah.
Montana.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and we can have a life. And the choice was just, the die was cast. Like, no, man, I don't give a shit about the rest of it. I don't give a shit. And that kind of like narrow-mindedness, there's a freedom in that. When you're done caring, mm-hmm. if you can really imagine reducing your life to a place where you have one last thing you want to do, and that is it. The rest of it, you don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
And to get to that place, obviously you have to go through some sort of horrible nightmare hell, some Job shit from the Bible. But once you're there, you have a tremendous freedom. And who cares?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, to be in that zone and then have, and then to, I cannot even imagine sitting in the car across from Norma / Norman / whoever the fuck else is in there and giving a rat's ass for what's coming up.
Julia, did you think that Romero's goal, what was Romero's goal? Was it just that? Was he going to see the body and then kill Norman and then go to Montana?
Well, or kill Norman and kill the body. Himself? I think he wanted to show the body some respect in some regard.
Okay.
I don't know if it was going to be like a sort of time-lapse Romeo and Juliet sort of moment, considering she's been dead for a year.
Sure.
But I think he wanted to be at peace with her, and that meant being at peace with her body, because the body has been disturbed, and that disturbed him. I think he just wanted to give that.
Yeah,
body
yeah. I mean, he did. He did have that moment, though. He did have that.
He was like, "I'm going to get you out of here."
But he had that moment. I mean, at least seeing her. I mean, did you feel that he had that moment with Norma when he uncovered her and got to like see her for one last time? You think that was fulfilling for him?
Oh yeah. Well, it definitely took the blinders off. It's what gave Norman. I mean, after he beat down Norman, it's what gave him the freedom. However, when they were in the car, what I thought was so interesting to just go back to when they were in the car for a second, in that scene together, you talked about how people aren't sympathetic, and towards the end, Romero was really not a sympathetic person. He, in that car, Norman was playing the protagonist and Romero was playing the antagonist 100%. Mm-hmm. And I loved the fact that Norman went into his psychosis mode. And normally everybody else's reactions are going to be this like bewilderment, this shock, it always takes people aback to watch Norman behave like Norman, that very few people actually see that. And he did not care. And so when I think after all of this, this is the pinnacle moment, right? You get to the body and you look at it. And I just think that
There's also a point in that car when Norman and Mother were having a conversation. That's the first time Norman's been back, because mm-hmm. Norman has been taking a nap with a warm apple pie baking in the kitchen.
That's right.
But now he's back for the first time, and Norman and Mother are having this little quiet little conversation in the front seat of the car. Mm-hmm. That's his first time that he's reemerged.
Yeah.
And he's like, Mother, I thought you were going to handle this. What happened?
Exactly. I don't think that Romero gives a shit.
That's a great point.
About that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you that. I mean, Joe, the thing I did, you know, Norman's a little guy and he's a slight guy, but I tell you what, that effort can take a punch.
Yeah, not for nothing.
I mean, he got his ass kicked by Romero 15 times.
Hard.
Head slammed against the thing. Not to mention his mama already knocked his ass out against the toilet.
Yeah. No, he's not doing right.
And then
no.
came out. Is there a concussion protocol for psychopaths?
Because hold on, you're taking over, but let's follow the finger before you before you drive.
I thought he just knocked the Norman back into him, but it didn't work. Anyway, I'm sorry.
He popped up. He had that Joker thing going on. He had that one little streak of makeup going off. Yep. This, he had like a Heath Ledger thing going on his grill. I loved what they did with that scene. It was kind of like that was the scene I thought they would end with.
Yeah.
I thought they would end with.
So did I.
With some sort of a beautiful shot in the snow. But,
or some sort of murder-suicide.
Yeah. Like
they're all dead. Mm-hmm. They're all
everybody's
dead,
dead in the snow.
The snow. Yep. And it makes me think that maybe that somebody, you know, obviously these things aren't written overnight. Someone wrote that ending.
Yes.
And someone said, you know what, let's take that.
We can do better.
This is what I have. Like, when, you know, this in an hour television, you got, like, I don't know, like eight acts maybe, that kind of front thing. And I looked up, and we're 12 minutes in. I'm like, wow, Romero's dead in the first act?
Yep.
Well, what the shit's going to happen now?
Yeah, well,
what the fuck's going to happen? You know, yeah. Romero dead in the first act. It feels like they're on the board, and we'll ask Carrie if we're lucky enough to have her on. Like, they wrote that scene, and like, you know what? Let's put that in the front of the show.
That's
and
it.
Now what are we going to do?
So whatever you predicted, whatever little armchair quarterback predicted that, we did that in the first 12 minutes. Now pay attention.
Yeah.
That was
my attention. The commercial break, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
We still got 40 minutes to go.
It was funny because this whole episode, I had to force myself a number of times not to get caught up in what's going to happen next and actually listen and pay attention to what's happening in the scene because right. That's what's actually important. But one of the things that went on in that scene that I think that was, we've talked about the show a dozen times, they don't make accidents. They make choices.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So the Virgin Mary iconography that they wrapped Norma in was incredibly specific.
Mm.
And, and I think part of Romero's breakdown mentally and his judgment going out the window was that, you know, here you see it. She's perfectly preserved, which has got to be jarring. Even if you prepped yourself for it, you can't imagine it for real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, how do you really prep for that? And then you see this woman that you loved and that you'd seen a life with and you had a taste of a life with.
And who's been your motivation for this vengeance for the whole time.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? So, like, we added that in onto his hero's journey, right? The hero's journey was kill this fucker, be done. Mm-hmm. And then he finds out you dug what? You did what?
Yeah.
Now I got to layer on this other thing. Now I got to see it through the end. But it was so interesting to me. There's a couple of shots in there where her eyes and that just what they did with the eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, it hurt. And the one eye was working and the other eye was kind of like down and they had her with the Virgin Mary action. And I mean, it all played out to watching him break down and it felt seamless. It felt, yes, you would hit him enough times and imagine he was done. And of course, we knew it was going to happen. We're all sitting there.
Right.
Every one of us is in a horror theater in the 90s. Get up, bitch! Don't look at me. Every one of us. But it, you know,
or my house every time I watch television.
Good. I loved the placement of the scene specifically and the killing of Romero because his dying words were, "You killed your own mother and you can't hide from that."
Yep.
And that's what he's been hiding from. And now, because of that, it sort of woke Norman up. And now Norma, like actual his mother, is in front of him. So now she's a physical entity rather than like a mental construct.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
So now he is just Norman and he has his mother.
Yeah.
Whether she's dead or alive, she's still physical. She's not just in his head anymore.
Exactly.
So he brought her to life, technically, in his mind in that way. And I thought that was such a like brilliant shift. And that's the way that he lives out his last, you know, hours
exactly.
on the planet.
And I thought the same thing when I was wondering about this, because I wondered, okay, we're at a collision course here for Norman to go see Norman as mother
mm-hmm.
to go see himself or in the ground. And what is that going to do to him? You know, and no, so
apparently
and then,
nothing.
And then, well,
no, I think it did a lot.
It did a lot.
Yeah.
To him.
Yeah.
It took mother out of his brain and into the actual physical body.
Yes.
Yeah. But I thought that was, okay, go on.
Well, no, because then the next
thing.
Or the
concussion did.
Or the multiple concussions.
I mean, beat the truth into
him.
So, but then when he looks up and he sees mother.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, what are you doing over there? And
yep.
he's like, I need your help. Don't leave me. And she's like, yeah, you know everything. You got it covered.
Yep. You know everything now. There's nothing more to protect you from.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the ground.
She was
you're
always
looking at
a defense mechanism.
Like you killed two people as Norman. You know, like
but he also admitted it was correct me if I'm wrong. For the first time, when he was looking at the body, he says it was supposed to be the both of us.
Right.
Like I was supposed to kill both of us.
Exactly.
But
don't leave me now.
Yeah.
But then he goes. I mean, like he goes back into it. I mean, it was the Norman equivalent of like. you can't hide from what you did. Oh, really? Hold my beer. Like, yeah.
But what we saw, he didn't. What we saw, there was a whole new ball game.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but what we saw, like, we this wasn't Norman blacking out.
Nope.
And what happened?
It wasn't him choosing.
It wasn't mother taking
over. I don't know that it was a choice. I genuinely think that this is another next level psychosis shit for him.
Are you talking about the dream state that he goes
into? Exactly. I'm going to talk about that because I want to make sure we can get through this. But, you know, overall, I think it was an excellent choice for them to really... How much time was spent? At least 50% of the episode was spent in Norman's head, right? And then the rest was sort of juxtaposed against reality. We saw very little about what was going on in the real world. We saw, a Dylan and Emma scene, which we'll get to in a second. We saw a phone call with the sheriff. Mm-hmm. You know, we saw Norman checking the kids. And, of course, we saw the end. But other than that, it was all pretty much through Norman's point of view. So it's also an interesting choice to end this episode. Also, an interesting choice to fill in some backstory for us and see how they came to White Pine Bay, but
kind of close off that circle. That was beautiful.
But what I'm getting at, dude, I want to ask you about this is this is a third level of psychosis we've seen from him. This isn't the blacking out, as I said. This isn't him becoming Mother Norma. Mm-hmm. This is him just knocking the F out and just waking up and being completely gone in Norman land.
Well, so after they, and I'll let you, sorry.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
But I remember, and I even think I turned to you and I said, wow, so you've just shot Romero. You're in the woods alone, staring over your dead mother, beat to shit, and your security blanket of your mother Norma has said, you know what, you're on your own. Like, what a lonely, scary place that must be. Like, what? Like, how? And so how does he deal with that?
Well, I think that he has to... Only one place to go, back inside.
But not only back inside, back to the point where it all started.
Back to start.
Back to the very beginning. Right. Back to the beginning of the series, back to the beginning of everything. He's like, maybe I can just relive it.
But let me ask you guys a question. And this to me, is the crux of it is that a choice? Or is that something that just happened to his brain? Is that outside of his control? Now, let me ask you a question. Here's why I'm asking.
He's like, I want to...
So he's in the kitchen with Dylan. He's in the kitchen with Dylan. Mm-hmm. And Dylan says, you have to come back to the real world. This cannot be. You can't do this. Mm-hmm. If you believe heart... Because Dylan's saying, I want... Yep. Here's what I want. I want Christmases with the family. I want you and Mom to meet my daughter. This is what I want. And Norman says, if you believe it hard enough, you can make it true.
God, that was a sad last.
Well, that's to me
ripping my heart out.
But that I think goes to the crux of what happened after he killed Romero.
This was a conscious choice.
That's it. When Mother leaves, he consciously chooses this. So I think the difference is volition. Mm-hmm. Like the difference is Mother appeared outside of his volition. Mm-hmm. Like Mother is a coping mechanism that happens somewhere in the subconscious of his mind. Boom. This was a choice. This was me choosing, not me. But
I like that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I like that. I'll buy that for a second.
I'll buy that. And it's only because, and the only reason that I buy that is that scene with Dylan, because I didn't know how Norman was going to react to that when Dylan came up with him. And he's like, is he even going to remember? He didn't know a Romero. Was that something that he was just like, I do know a Romero, but I'm
do you think that he came out of that psychosis? Because it could have gone either way. He could have interpreted it as like, come on, Dylan, play along. Like, Mother's here. This is normal.
Yep.
Or it could have been he genuinely, as we were led to believe by the way everything's presented to us, that he literally thought he was in the past.
But there were clues, man. There were clues. Like, he took down the sheriff's tape, didn't question for a moment why he was taking down sheriff's tape. They didn't add a line like, weird confetti. No, he just took down sheriff's tape.
And he did dress up his dead mother and got her all taxidermied up and got her all...
You know what I mean? Did all that. And you know, to me, I think this was a choice. This was, you know, if you've ever gone out there and you ever been out surfing and the set's gone, it's all over. Mm-hmm. And there's some part of you that you want to force these little teeny things those little teeny waves. Come on, this will turn into something. It's not going to turn into it. But there's those moments where you try to force it. And I think that's what he was trying to do. Like, I'm going to get this to happen.
So what did you think about the fact that this was like, really, at the end of the day, this show's always been about family and, you know, and whether it's we have that, you know, that we talk about these dinner table scenes with the Last Supper, and there's been sort of one in every episode. There's two big ones in this one. But the show's always been about family, and the fact that this all came down to just Norman and Dylan. And I thought this was really poignant because Dylan's a character that wasn't in Psycho, wasn't really around. And so if they're really going to make a left turn and do something new, to be able to utilize Dylan in this way, I thought was a wonderful way to do it. But at the end of the day, he calls Dylan And so you really see him this whole episode through the eyes of two people. Through the eyes of Dylan, as he talks to the sheriff, and as he talks to Emma, and through the eyes of Norman. And have that go that way, and have those two things collide at the end, that was really brilliant. I know what you think.
Well, Dylan was the only one who got away. Dylan's the one who left it all behind, and the whole sort of full circle moment of this is when Norman carries Norma's body home, and it's like they're taking each other home for the first time to the only place where they feel safe, the only place where they're closed in together, shut out from the outside world, and they really had, in his mind, they were really starting over. Like, this was the beginning, all over again. All the bullshit that's gone down, all the murdering and this and that, it never happened. We don't have our system up and running, but I can check you in anyway. I fell down the steps. I'm kind of new around here. Like, I missed a step. Call Dylan.
I don't know anybody named Romero.
I miss you. Come on over, brother. I miss you. Come to my safe place. Come to my happy place. We can be a happy family, you, me, and mother. Before any of this shit went down, before everything went sideways, the first time you showed up
I
here.
I think that's a choice. I don't think that's an accident.
I'm picking up what you're putting down. I
get it. It's a choice.
I agree with you, but I think he was grasping at Dylan to bring him in. Come with me. Be part of this with me, and we could be happy in a family together. If I make it pretty, if I make it nice, set the table and mommy looks pretty and the food's good.
And to the point of it being a choice, why didn't he call? He could have called. Why didn't he call? He could call anybody. He called Dylan because he wanted Dylan to be a part of this sort of fantasy world.
Be my family. Let's be a family in this house.
Did he call Dylan because of the boy that checked in, though? And he's like, oh, I have a brother named Dylan. And then he got nostalgic. Is that what set it off?
Ooh, could have.
Possibly.
Because I was like, why else would those people have checked in? What was the point of them checking in?
I've been kind of running in circles around about that, too.
It's a good device. It fills us with a little bit of dread. You got a couple little boys. And it's that. But I think it was probably that. She had two little boys, two brothers, a single mom. Presumably single mom, but she wasn't.
And that's true. Norman wouldn't really, does he know how cognizant is he of Dylan being around?
But also that moment of I have a brother named Dylan. Where's Dylan?
To his knowledge,
his mother just uprooted them from Arizona to Oregon. So reach out to my brother, be like, "Hey, man, I'm sorry we left without telling you."
I really would like to come over. It doesn't matter, but I really would have liked to see some more of the aftermath of the sheriff station and Julio Ramos and what happened there and all that good stuff. But I'm fine without it. But so.
Poor Sheriff Green's going to have a lot of paperwork to do.
I want to get into just for a little bit. Yeah, the phone call where Dylan, he goes to his bar. Well, first of all, he meets up with his old buddy, what's his name?
Remo.
Oh, Remo. And good to see old Remo again.
Remo's doing great.
Doing great, man. Weed's legal in state of Washington.
I love that transition. I love that the show took a second. It just took one scene to do it. Just to remind you guys, in everybody who's in crazy land that thinks weed is a big deal, this was a criminal enterprise that lots of people got killed for, and now we don't need the guns anymore because it's totally legal. Just letting you know how prohibition works.
Yes.
Moving on. I love that. And it was tidy as shit. Put a little normal bow on it. Just like that. That's a package of good policy right there.
Crime town? Well, guess what? It's all on the up and up now.
All on the up and up.
That's what legalization of did for alcohol in 1933, and that's what it's doing for us right now.
Give it a couple minutes. Amazon will drop that shit on your front door. Don't worry about
it. With a drone.
They're based in Seattle any fuck way. I love. Anyway.
So he meets Remo. Remo gives him the piece. That was a nice little exchange.
Remo got a little cameo.
He goes to the bar. He almost gets picked up on by the ladies.
As I said during the show, never happened to me.
Stole my line. Stole my line.
You know what the problem is? I go up and I order a fun margarita. That's probably why
that actually happened. We'll get that's a different
story. That's our umbrellas.
It's an inside story. Well, I'm making
dear.
He likes to go out and embarrass me when he goes out. But then Dylan goes and realizes that he gets a call from Norman and he's like, okay, I got to go handle this, but not before he calls his wife. Mm-hmm. And it drops a pretty, one sentence. Hey, babe, so listen, Romero broke out of jail and kidnapped Norman, and then now they're in the woods and he's missing, and now he's at home. He just called me, so I'm going to check him out. Like, huh? That's talking about dropping the bomb, but very heartbreaking exchange, and Emma's very worried about him, mm-hmm. and he's very worried about her, and she kept saying the key words, and this is Joe Filippo's moment to shine. You have a daughter to come home to. You have a daughter to come home to. And she's like, oh, no, I don't, you know.
Well, do I have a wife?
Do I have a wife? And all of us who watch this together, the four of us watch this together, you know, we watch, and of course there was a, like, what felt like a 45-second pause.
Two semis drive through it.
Cricket flew back. A bat. You
know, whatever. Tumbleweed across.
She wasn't having it, though. She's like, I'm not doing this. I'm not playing this game.
No, but their response was, well, I forgot.
What was it? Don't make me do this right now.
Don't make me do this right now.
And we're like,
oh, no. Pillar of salt.
Yeah, so it was very, very sad moment.
I know I have a child. Do I have a wife?
Yes, you have a wife.
As it turns out.
Yes, you have a wife. Please come home.
Yeah, that would have been call Sheriff Green.
Yeah, you have a wife. Come home. Call. If you call Sheriff Green, you got a wife, motherfucker. Now, do that.
She wouldn't even tell him that she loved him. She's like, I'm not gonna
arm you.
She,
like, yeah. Yeah. Sort of arm you. Something like that.
Yeah, that Emma's a strong ass woman.
She is.
Like, she's tough.
I like
her. That's one tough broad.
She's like, man up and get home.
Yes. Well, but he did go inside. I guess his intentions, initially we thought his intention would go inside and maybe kill Norman and kill himself, maybe, because he was so distraught about not having a wife, but his intention was to go in and try to help his brother.
I really thought my prediction was going to come true.
Oh, yeah. He was sitting on his lips. It was all lining up.
Like that.
It was all lining up.
Which prediction?
My prediction last week was along the lines that Dylan was going to be the one to take out Norman, and then he was going to be all alone. He lost his wife, he lost his child, he lost his family. He's going to be all alone at this big old house, which he probably would have inherited, and he would have been taken, because he probably has psychosis as well, because he's part of that family. Jeez, he was going to be taken over by that house.
He was
going to go batshit crazy, and he was going to be the new murderer of the Bates Motel.
And he was going to introduce himself as Norman, the next people that come
genius. I fully expected him to get up from the stairs, turn around, and have Norman and Norma like, hello, Dylan.
Yeah.
And like, hello, mother.
Oh,
and
so
brother.
Glad they didn't do that.
I would have ridden that high for so long, being so right.
Yeah. In the hands of lesser writers, maybe. But anyway, so he goes and he checks up Norman. And
I'm happy I was wrong, but goddamn was I going to be expressed.
Dylan's trying to like talk some sense into Norman. He's like, listen, dude, your mom's dead. She's not here. Of course she is. And that moment.
The fuck she ain't. Go around the corner.
Go around the corner.
His look that he gave, like, sort of like, she's in the other room.
Yeah, it was so.
So smirky. Like, your mother's dead. Go, oh, really? Is she? Yeah.
She ain't here? Good. Go take a walk, my man.
Norma's not here.
Yeah.
Oh, she's totally here.
You should go sit at the table.
She's super duper here.
And she walked around there. She was, and Dylan didn't take that too well.
No.
Norman's like
perfect reaction too.
You must be sick. Like this, all of that in that moment. Like, wow, the dead mother's there. The brother's barfing. I'm like, this is.
But that's the way he played it was so like just pushing, keeping it. No, you're sick. This is what's wrong with you. You're sick. Yeah. I'll clean it up. You're fine. Sit down. And
sit down. You're fine.
You're fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me
again,
about it.
Acting up to a 11. Acting job up to an 11 for Freddie Highmore.
Mm-hmm. He's good at that acting, that Freddie Highmore.
Oh, man. This is another Emmy. I picked this up for an Emmy. This episode for Freddie Highmore was amazing stuff he did. I mean, his looks when he was in his sort of like trance, the bloody face,
oh my
with the mustache hair.
And you know what?
And like, yes, mother.
Props to the makeup department, too.
By the time he got to, like, that look on his face, by the time he got to the house, and then the transformation he had with him and Dylan of, like, you know, coming out of the psychosis and, like, Dylan.
Okay, this is what I want
to
ask.
Grabbing the knife, all of that was insane.
When did he decide? When do you think, so was it when he turned back? Because I think I saw it on his face, but I want to get you guys' take on it. When did he decide the little suicide by brother? When did that happen? When did he decide that
he being Freddie?
Yeah.
Or Norm? When did he decide to get
when
the knife?
When did Norman decide that I'm going to force this? I'm going to make Dylan kill me?
I think when he saw the knife.
You think he saw it? It was like, it was just...
I think he saw it. I think it was just a desperate thing. And he was like, it may be just a force of habit. I think that he had no... I mean, what else would you do in that desperation? And my question is, do you think he grabbed the knife knowing, because at the time he didn't know he had a gun. So do you think he was really going to kill Dylan and just live in his fantasy? Or do you think he was trying to get Dylan to kill him?
Or do you think, yeah, well, maybe it's a matter of either way, this is going, either way, this is coming to a head, I guess. Well, yeah, what's the question, right? So there was no plan, though.
I'm going to kill you with a fantasy.
I like what you said about desperation. So it's a desperate choice. I see the knife, I go for the knife because... Mm-hmm. either way, I'm going to get you out of my fantasy, mm-hmm. or you're going to end my fantasy for me. But either way, it's right now.
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the acting, Julia. I'm still stuck on what Dylan was doing, what Max Theriot was doing.
Theriot?
Can we just call you Theriot? I'll take the rapist for 500.
Did you just say Theriot?
And I believed it, though. It's like, yeah.
It's Theriot. It's the riot.
Yeah, that's it. That's
the riot.
It's got to be the riot.
Anyway, Julia, go ahead and continue. I'm sorry.
I know, but I say the riot.
So, I think there was that moment where he was like desperately pleading, don't ruin this, but it's been ruined. You know, it's ruined. Dylan just ruined the whole thing. Like, he tried to bring him in. We can live in this nice little fantasy world as a nice little family and have beautiful dinners all the time. And mom's corpse will be there, but we'll pretend it's real.
Yeah.
Don't ruin this. And he is not having it. Dylan's not having it. So he is either going to ruin it or someone's going
to
die.
Yeah. And tragically, in that moment, we decides to have suicide by brother. And he's like, this is how it is.
I think it was suicide by brother because it has been ruined and there's no going back. He can't get back into that mental state, and even if he could, he's going to be institutionalized. Like, it's too far gone.
Yeah. I mean, Dylan knows how to handle himself. Couldn't he do like a swim move and then like knock him
up? Well, that was what I was going to say. Either way,
do some like just some jiu-jitsu.
He's always been the more physical brother, so I mean, there ought not to be a question, you know. So, provided mentally he's in the right place to fight him.
Was Dylan there to, like, I've got to either take him out or do this? Because, like, I feel like Dylan could have did a move.
You can't Dylan bring a knife to a gunfight anymore.
There it is. Right there. Can't do it.
Dylan cannot. Yeah. Norman is ruining Dylan's life. He's taking everything away from him.
Exactly.
And there's not much left. He has one little thread left there. He has to end it.
Yeah. Excellent point. You're absolutely right. And he kind of knew that's the way it was going
to
go.
And I think Norman deep down knew that it needed to be ended, that he was going to ruin Dylan's life.
Can I ask you one more question about that scene? I know we're running out of time. Did you guys notice that the knife wound up... The knife wound up in the door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which said on to me purpose. That he was in never no chance it. He was actually going to... He was not going to stab Dylan.
Not going to stab Dylan.
It was... The swing was way too high.
And then he said, thank you.
Yeah.
He wanted
I'm glad we unpacked this, guys. Now I have no doubt.
Love the scene where they run up, where he runs up as a little boy to his mother.
He's the ever child.
And they're doing that. And
that was
light.
His truest like self. His happiest
state. They're
fine
together. Yes. And I wonder. It makes you wonder.
I don't think he ever grew up past that point. He was faux adulting.
You know, I do.
And I thought, like, God, it seems so heavenly, but I don't know what heaven and hell. But like, I don't think. Are they going to that place?
That's what I want to talk about.
Like, I don't. I mean, I would have said that packet, Joe. Unfortunately,
I know.
But we got 3 minutes.
But let me say this. It's awful bright and sunny for a place that those two maybe should have been in.
I don't know that they ended up there.
The question.
As long as they're together, they're going to be in heaven.
Yes. And these were the final moments of Norman's life, and he was still in the
He's still in his own mind.
Yeah. So if you believe in the afterlife, I gotta believe that they went downstairs.
Well, they walked on the lights and went down the escalator. Where's Romero? Because, like, Romero's dead, too. But Romero's dead too. So it was like Romero like with them and they're all happy together.
But Joe's right. That was all in Norman's head. So it was Norman's fantasy. And what the hell would Romero be doing in Norman's head?
As long as they're together, it's heavenly to them.
And but to end that from Norman's perspective and have that happy ending for Norman, because this whole entire time they've had us rooting for this guy, and we did root for him, and that was a wonderful ending. And of course, we get to see, as we talked about, life goes on in White Pine Bay. Mm-hmm. Someone else buys a hotel, and then we get our wonderful moment.
Oh God, I was so scared.
Skipping to years later, well, it looks like 5 years later, maybe
less,
maybe three or four. You know, but she's walking down the street with little Maggie,
Katie.
And walking around the corner,
Bob,
and
Jim.
There's the dad. He's healthy. He's not all psycho.
No, he looks good.
He looks good. He comes up.
It could have just been a handoff.
I thought it was.
But he goes and they kiss, and she doesn't.
Oh, so good.
It was very. Also,
and
so
all four of us like, oh,
yes. No pillar of salt.
So listen. So we got that happy ending. And we got the Norman and Norma happy ending, and then I just had to go through our count, like, you know, Caleb dead, Chick dead, Romero dead. Dr. Edwards presumed dead, right?
Norman.
Dylan and Emma, Norman dead. Norma dead. Emma and Dylan, they made it.
They made it.
It's a goddamn heavy ending.
And did you guys notice that when Katie looked at the camera, Katie looks a shitload like Norma. I don't know if y'all noticed. Oh! That is, that's a little mini Norma right there.
And she didn't look at the camera.
She's like, what's up?
At the end. We unfortunately got to go. We got to get out of here, you guys.
You know what was really sad?
Yes.
There was nothing written on Norman's gravestone.
No, that was poignant. I like that. Maybe that was the punishment that they gave Norman.
Yeah. Nothing on his gravestone.
Yeah, here lies
nothing. Who's gonna write anything for him?
Yeah. Who?
Because she was like loving mother, loving
mother. Yeah, it was all written by Norman.
Yeah.
It was his
who's gonna write? Maybe Dylan will come back and scribe, brother.
No, he's out.
Brother murderer.
Whack job.
Here's what we have to do, guys. Obviously, we had a great time doing the show for the last 5 years. It's been wonderful, and thank you guys for listening and joining us and watching us. We have way more to unpack. This is just we just watched the episode, then we came in here and talk about it. We're gonna go away. We're gonna think about this for a while, and then we're gonna come back and have some more takes, and we're gonna do a couple more episodes. But this time, we're gonna try to bring back some folks from the show. I'm not gonna say but for sure. We're hopefully going to try to get a
for sure, hopefully,
writer and an actor or more. We're going to keep booking people until they don't want to come on, and we'll do that.
Show die.
And we'll do that. And we'll keep talking about Baseball Until More. So
Are we Norma-ing Baseball Until More?
Exactly. We'll come back.
It'll be coping mechanism. It'll be just
Julia sitting here with four empty chairs, and she'll be like, "Hello, Vera. Hello, Freddie. Hello, Carrie." Anyway, we gotta get out of here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for joining us. Joe, where can the kids find you?
You can find me on the Twitters at Joe Filippo, Joey FLIPO.
Julia.
Twitter and Instagram with my name, Julia Carely, JULIACEARLEY.
Dua.
You can find me on the Twitters at DuaCasey, DuaKaiSSI.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell. Thank you so much for joining us and having us. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We'll see you very soon.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.